O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know where this comes from. Psalm 118. Several times in Psalm 118. It's a wonderful psalm. It's a fabulous psalm. In fact, it's said that this was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. There are no powers of men, no princes, no nobility, no great armies, no great matter of wealth. There's nothing that carries us through this life with such power and assurity as some of the words that are written right here. This particular psalm is interesting for a lot of reasons. It, for one reason, is you probably heard it said that Psalm 118 and verse 8 is the very center of the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I assume that's true. I haven't counted to see if that's whether it's new or not. And I don't know if it changes with translations or not, and if that's the Lord's doing on purpose or if it's just a matter of coincidence. But either way, it is true. And what a great central part of the Bible. Man does not give us a surety, but it is God and God alone. Even we ourselves cannot give us our own surety. We don't know who wrote Psalm 118. It's not attributed to anybody, definitely. There's a lot of good candidates, though. A lot of prophets. A lot of kings, particularly one like David. In all honesty, whenever you read the psalm, and if you try to think of one of these guys, you can understand why it could be them. Really, it could be any godly man. Any one of us can put ourselves in the writer's perspective and understand what he's talking about. Because God is good, and we give thanks to him, because his mercy does, in fact, endure forever. Whenever we look at some of the sections of this psalm, for instance, the part where he talks about how it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, reminds us of what our Savior says, that we do not fear the one who is simply able to kill the body, but we fear the one who is able to cast both body and soul into hell, because it is that God, that one, who is able also to save body and soul. He is the one to give us life, and as Jesus put it, life abundantly. And so the psalmist says that whenever he is in his distress, what does God do? He answers him. God does give us answer. And he says that he sets him at a large place, a broad place, a place of comfort, a place of safety. Reminds us of what we studied this morning, and Larry brought in Psalm 27, when David asked the question, whom shall I fear? No one. If God is with me, then no one. Or like Paul said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? There is no one. Because in our distress, the Lord has answered us. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can then man do to me? Ultimately, man cannot do anything to us of lasting effect. It's temporary. God is eternal, though. But God helps us. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put the confidence in princes, no matter what comes our way. You know, in thinking about this particular psalm and tying it to Psalm 27 this morning, where the psalmist here, you know, says, all nations are compassed about me. And the name of the Lord, though, he says, in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. The nations, they are compassed about me. He says in verse 12, they're like bees all over me, surrounding me. They're innumerable. But yet, whom shall I fear? You know, whenever David asks those questions and he gives really logical answers of what he should be afraid of. His foes, his enemies, wars, and great armies. Because that's what David faced almost on a daily basis. Enemies and foes and armies. His whole life was fighting. For every reason, David should have feared those things, but he didn't. Why? Because God was on his side. And so really what you can do is you can put yourself in David's perspective or in the perspective of the psalmist and fill in the blank. What shall I fear? Or whom shall I fear? And fill in, instead of saying armies and foes and wars, what is it that causes you to be afraid? What are the things that you face every day that, from the world's perspective, logically, from man's reasoning, these are things that you should be afraid of? Poverty, shame, illness, disaster. What is it that you're afraid of? Then ask yourself, will I be afraid of this? Though it compasses me about, though it seems to surround me, and it's like bees upon me, and I can't get away? No. Whom shall I fear? None. Because God is with me. I called upon him in my distress, and he has answered me, and he has put me in a broad place. The Lord, verse 14, is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. God is the one who gives us that endurance to make through the end. Like Elijah subsisted 40 days and 40 nights on a little bit of bread or cake of some sort and a bit of water. The Lord is my strength. He is my song. He is my salvation. My dear friends, whenever we go back and we look at these men and women and great heroes of faith, we must remember they didn't know everything that we now know. They didn't know how everything exactly was going to come out. God didn't give them all the answers. He just gave them enough so that they knew which direction they needed to go in. And then always ending it with that period statement of trust me. That was always there. Trust me. Be strong and courageous. Trust in me. And so, my friends, that's the same for us today. We don't always know what's going to happen. We don't always know the answers of what's going to exactly take place, but God has given us enough to know in which direction we need to be headed. He's given us enough to sustain us, even if the world thinks it's silly, even if it just seems like a little bit of cake and a little bit of water, it's enough to sustain us through the end so that we can make the journey. Even though the journey is long and even the journey is hard, because the Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. What's particularly beautiful then about this psalm is he goes on and talks about this salvation that God has given to him and how the gate of righteousness is being opened up to him and he will go in so that he can praise the Lord. He says this. In verse 21, beginning, he says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the Lord of the corner. What is this? It's more than just the Lord is my salvation in just a general sense. God is the provider because he's the creator. He's given us everything. He is the great victor. But ultimately, where does that come from? It's from Jesus, from the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. You see, it's messianic. That's part of what's so beautiful about this psalm. The great hope and the great mercy and the great strength and joy that comes from the Lord our God is Jesus Christ, the chief of the cornerstones, the headstone of the corner, the one that the builders rejected. The one that men rejected, that the world refused. Thus, as the psalmist said again in verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than in men, because men do not know. It is not right, or it is the ways of the Lord, excuse me, the ways of men. It's not within himself to direct his way. There is a way that seems right to him, but the way is destruction. Men don't know. They just don't know. But God does. And so that's why we trust in Him. I love verse 23 because what does He say? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Marvelous, why? Because it's so beautiful, so wondrous, it's so, in some ways, simple, but yet so complex, and it's so surprising, too. What a beautiful and wonderful story. It seems like an old, old story to us, my friends, but it is a fabulous story, and at a time, the world had no idea how God was going to do this. It reminds me of the words of Gamaliel. This is God's doing. Who can stop it? Who are we to stand in God's way? And thus he then goes on to say then in verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Not just because this is any day, but this is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Messiah, has come. Praise be to the Lord. His mercy endures forever. And so now save us. Dear Lord, verse 25, as he goes on to say, and it's all extollation and praise. Now, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you yet, you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us the light. Jesus Christ, as John says in his gospel, bind the sacrifice with cords, even the horns of the altar. Christ is our great sacrifice. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy truly endureth forever. Amen. My dear friends, Jesus, the head of the corner, has brought salvation. God's ultimate display of love, grace, mercy, power, etc. It all pales in comparison to Jesus. Jesus is what it's all about, my friends. It is better to trust in God than to trust in Him. And so, my friend, won't you tonight trust God? Trust Jesus Christ. He died for you so that you might have hope, that you might have salvation, joy, and peace. But, my friend, unless you come to Him, and unless you accept Him, confess Him, be baptized in His name, repent of your sins, and continue faithfully, and my friends, you cannot be saved. Don't let Christ's death be in vain. Come to Him tonight. And if you need to be restored tonight, let this truly be a day of rejoicing for us, for the angels in heaven, that God Himself has written your name in the book of life. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?